Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the minds of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, even how to get started on your own. Today's stories, warnings about the transition to chip-enabled credit cards for small businesses, why it's time to stop criticizing a key customer base, millennials, and the chain restaurant giving up on the no-tipping policy. Those stories after this.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
The new high-performance Dell Latitude systems are the most secure, manageable, and reliable business-class laptops and two-in-ones so employees can do their best work. Outfitted with the latest Intel Core processors, your team can reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times the performance. Make your work beautiful again at dell.com/radio. Again, dell.com/radio. You may have heard Walmart is suing Visa, saying Visa's policy of allowing signatures leads to fraud. The retail giant wants the credit card company to require shoppers like us using chip-enabled debit cards to punch in a PIN code instead. Without it, Walmart says there's a risk to customer bank accounts. Meanwhile, retailers who didn't make the transition to chip cards as of last fall are now on the hook for counterfeit transactions. And Wall Street Journal reporter Robin Seidel says the costs of the fraud, known in the industry as chargebacks, are starting to stack up. Robin, set the scene.
Basically, whenever there were counterfeit card transactions in the past, the bank that issued the card would be responsible for eating the cost of the fraud. And now, as of last October, that liability has shifted to merchants. So if you're a merchant and you do not have the proper equipment to accept chip cards, then you're going to be on the hook for counterfeit fraud. And what's really interesting is that a lot of time in the past, the merchants didn't even know that they had counterfeit fraud, and now they're finding out loud and clear.
Wow. All right. So why would some companies not be on board at this point?
Well, there's a bunch of reasons. I mean, I think, first of all, there are many merchants who didn't know that they had such counterfeit fraud, so they didn't find that installing the chip card equipment was particularly important for them. Some have waited, even though they had, you know, a good deal of warning about it, some waited, and now there's kind of delays in either getting the equipment or getting it certified, installing it, getting the right software. So there have been a lot of delays, and this is really affecting large merchants and small merchants because there are plenty of large, big-name merchants who still are not accepting chip cards.
We're speaking with Robin Seidel, credit card reporter at the Wall Street Journal. She's got a story entitled, More Chip Card Headaches, This Time for Merchants. All right, so what else is going on here? What else can we mention?
Well, one of the other things is, obviously, people have been talking a lot about the speed or lack thereof in these chip card transactions, and I wrote a story a couple of weeks ago. Visa has introduced some new technology to try and speed up the transaction time, and that's another thing that merchants have blamed on the reason that they're not installing this equipment. They say it's, you know, too complicated, too lengthy for their customers. A lot of them didn't want to install it during the holiday season last year. So, you know, there have just been delays all around. And, you know, I hear anecdotally from so many cardholders all the time about how long it takes.
Wow. So inserting the card itself into the device takes longer? Is that what they're saying? It takes longer to process or verify?
Well, just think about it. When you swipe, it's just instantaneous. You swipe really quickly and you stick that card back in your wallet. With the chip card, some of it is real extra processing time and some of it just is perception. But you keep that card, you have to keep that card in the slot. So you're standing there waiting for the transaction to finish. And, you know, if you've got a bunch of things that need to be bagged or something, you can you know, entertain yourself and spend that time. But if you've got one thing and you're just waiting, it seems like, in some places, it seems like it's taking forever.
Thanks, Robin. Wall Street Journal reporter Robin Seidel. Well, apparently the no tipping test at Joe's Crab Shack is not working out. The casual seafood chain, you might recall, announced last November that it had been trying out a no-tipping model in 18 of its restaurants across the country since August. But less than a year later, CNN Money says the company is moving back to the standard gratuity model in 14 of those test locations. Joe's Crab Shack has more than 100 locations nationwide and was the first major restaurant chain to test out a no-tipping policy. Prices at the pilot restaurants increased to cover the new labor costs. The restaurant's research, though, showed that around 60% of customers disliked the policy because it took away an incentive for good service. And how about this? They don't necessarily trust that management is passing along the money to workers. The pilot restaurants lost an average of 8 to 10% of customers during the test run, according to the CEO. Getting rid of gratuity eliminates any math at the end of a meal for customers, but it turns out the customers don't mind the added work. Coming up next, your need for millennial customers. Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to the state that went from 49th to 10th best in corporate business income tax, where 2,000 burdensome and unnecessary regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years, and is now home to the 6th best entrepreneurial climate. All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice of your business. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. It might be time to start dialing back the criticisms of the millennials. It appears that the largest generation is growing up. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman says they buy homes, they purchase cars, they take vacations. The millennials, it turns out, are pretty much like every other generation of the last 70 years. And he says that's a good thing because we need them. Rick set this up.
Millennials are now sort of the most important generation. They're the young members of the workforce, obviously. And we're finally seeing the signs that they are starting to make big purchases and hit all the milestones that prior generations did. And that's been a worry because they got a later start on account of the recession. And there were some economists for a while who were concerned that everything about the millennials was going to be different. Well, it turns out it's looking like it's not so different after all.
All right, so they are going to be like other generations before them, for example, with their big purchases like homes?
Yeah. In fact, we're seeing a lot of evidence now that this younger generation is going out and making the big purchases just as other groups did before them. So millennials now account for the largest share of home purchases of any generation. That is surprising to a lot of people. They account for about 35% of all home sales. So if you thought younger workers found it impossible to move out of their parents' homes, save some money, and be able to put down a deposit on a house and get approved for a mortgage, that's not true. Lots of young people are buying homes, and for the most part, they're buying in suburbs and small towns and rural areas, not in urban areas. So, that's sort of what we are accustomed to thinking people are supposed to do as they get married and settle down and have kids and raise families, and it's actually happening.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. His piece is called "The Millennials Are Coming to Save America." What about the knock on them, Rick, that they're largely an entitled group or a group that feels entitled? Are they maybe maturing out of that?
Maybe. There are definitely cultural differences among all generations, I think you could go back in time and say that there certainly were moments when the baby boomers seemed very entitled compared to their parents, the so-called silent generation. The baby boomers are really the ones who became known as very materialistic, cared a lot about status and bling, spent tons of money. And, for all the criticism of younger people these days, I mean, it is worth keeping in mind that the huge recession that began in 2007 and led to the financial crisis in 2008 was not caused by millennials. That was caused mostly by baby boomers and the generation after them, so-called Generation X, taking out too much debt. I mean, and saving practically no money. I mean, just overindulging in everything, most importantly on mortgages they could not afford. So that was not the millennials' fault, although they suffered the consequences of it perhaps worse than other age groups because they graduated from school into a terrible job market. So that apparently, that may even have taught younger workers better financial habits. They seem more inclined to save money and less interested in spending money, for example. So we may finally be seeing better habits in terms of managing money, thriftiness, less inclined to just spend everything you had, and not such big fans of debt.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, millennials' habits that small businesses need to keep in mind. Reminder, by the way, you can get more small business reports on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. And we encourage you to leave feedback on whatever podcast platform you use, like, say, iTunes or SoundCloud. And by the way, you could follow me on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. Also, if you'd like to share thoughts or ideas about your small businesses, send me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.